Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
The year was 1964. And Charles Schulz pitched a Christmas special to CBS, and of course he was famous, and how could you go wrong? But in the special, he has Linus reading from the Bible, from the Gospel of Luke, which this is not long after Madeline Murray O'Hara and the suit bring into question praying in schools, and there's all kinds of unrest going on. And so there was a split among CBS management. There was half of the people said, kill it. We're not going to have public reading of Scripture at this time. And then the other half said, well, maybe we ought to give it a shot. But the tiebreaker was a Coca-Cola company, who was the lead sponsor for this special, and they saw it, and they said, we like it. Go for it. And so they did, and it's one of the top-rated Christmas specials ever since. So I was going to read this, but I'm going to let Linus read most of the Scripture for us. Charlie Brown was trying to get in the spirit of the season, and he didn't pick a very good tree, and his friends make fun of him, and then he wonders, what's the meaning of Christmas? Linus helps him know.
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a treat!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
And I'd never noticed it till I read somebody brought to my attention. You'll notice that when the angel says, "Don't, do not fear," Linus drops his blanket, which is his ever-present security. And it was Charles Schulz saying that when God is in the center, those things that bring us fear can be released. Of course, he picks it back up, but he has a new perspective. He has a new perspective on it. It goes on, when the angels had left them, Luke 2:15, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just like they had been told. So I've mentioned this in various Christmas messages, but there were people who missed Christmas. Shepherds didn't miss it, but there were people who missed Christmas. And not much has changed. Three people that missed Christmas would be the innkeeper, which we don't. I mean, it says the inn was full, but there had to be somebody who took care of it. So Christmas comes to the door, and they send him away. And just like that, we too get busy at Christmas, and we might miss the real focus. And then there was indifference or apathy. The religious leaders get tipped off that this baby is going to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 5 miles from Jerusalem, and so the religious leaders could have walked to the first Christmas if they were even remotely curious, but they didn't. They didn't care, and they didn't even try. And then there was fear. Herod heard about the King of the Jews. The Romans had given him that title, although he's not Jewish. And when he heard that there might be a rival king, you know the story. He had all of the children under, all the babies under two, or the children under two in Bethlehem slaughtered. And so Herod, because of fear, missed Christmas. And so we can miss Christmas for many of the same reasons. The shepherds were an interesting choice. The shepherds were an interesting choice to get the first message of Christmas. They were not in the center of life there. They were poor. They were outcasts. They were unclean. Max Lucado has this great quote. Had the angels gone to the theologians, they would have consulted their commentaries. Had they gone to the elite, they would have looked around to see if anybody was watching. Had they gone to the successful, they would have looked first at their calendars. And so they went to shepherds, men who didn't have a reputation to protect or an axe to grind or a ladder to climb, men who didn't know enough to tell God that angels don't sing to sheep and that messiahs aren't found wrapped in rags and sleeping in a feed trough. And so the birth of Jesus was announced not to the religious, not to the rich, but to the poor, to the unclean, to the outcasts. And so Jesus' message and our movement has always been not to the people who are connected, but to the people who have fallen off, fallen out, and who are struggling. And that's always got to be what we're about. And every week we engage people in a practical to meet their practical needs so that we can point them to the God who loves them. So why didn't the shepherds miss Christmas? Every time I come talk about the shepherds, I talk about the same kind of basic idea. When parents are talking to their kids and they're going to cross a street, you tell them, stop, look, listen, and then move. Stop at the street, look around, listen, what do you hear? And then once you've assessed it, then you cross, then you move. Shepherds kind of do the same thing, and we'll look at, the reason they didn't miss Christmas is they stopped, and then kind of out of order, they listen to the angels, and then they look for themselves. They go and see, they move out. So that's kind of our outline. Just to, first of all, the shepherds stopped. They, like Mary, they were still. They wandered, they treasured, they pondered. If you want to make sure you connect with the real meaning of Christmas, you just simply have to make time for God, which, by the way, is what you're doing right now. And if you're online, it's what you're doing right now. You're taking just a little bit of time out of your week to pull back and say, what is life really about? Which, by the way, the fourth commandment, one of the ten, is stop. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Pull back one day a week, just pull back. And think about your life and think about God and put it in perspective. God is so wise. On the seventh day, he rested and he tells his creation, you need to pull back and rest. And so the shepherds did that. They had a lifestyle conducive to hearing. It was slow. It was quiet. It was reflective. I kind of imagine if shepherds in 2023, the angels came to them, we'd have our iPhones and our AirPods on, and we'd be looking down watching TikTok or Instagram, and we're completely engaged in this, and all heaven is trying to speak, and we miss it, which is the nature of technology. It opens the world to us and shuts off the world. Isn't that interesting? It opens the world, but it shuts it off as well. We'll talk about that a little bit more tonight. So we live in a time of amazing technology that has improved our life, but it also fills our world with images and with noise. And so it's interesting that the shepherds were the first to get the Christmas message. I think it's because they were quiet enough to listen, they were eager enough to learn, and they were available enough to follow. They weren't too busy. Two quotes that I have shared multiple times. Pascal has a great quote. He says, All of our problems in life come from our inability to sit still in a room. All of our problems in life come from our sheer inability to be still. We simply can't. We won't. We have to fill our every moment with something, some image, some music, something. And Pascal said, if we could just sit still in a room quietly, life would take on a different perspective. So technology, as good as it is, and as wonderful it is, it also fills our minds up with everything. And the other is by Steinbeck. He says, the author Steinbeck, he said, if I wanted to destroy a nation, I would give it too much. A strange species we are, Steinbeck said. We can stand anything God and nature can throw at us, save only plenty. If I wanted to destroy a nation, I would give it too much. Soon I would have it on its knees, miserable, greedy, and sick. Isn't that interesting? Americans are impoverished by abundance. We simply have too much. And we stop being thankful, and we stop being content, and we're perpetually discontent about the most stupid things because we expect this. We're entitled to it, right? Well, not really, but, you know, we have too much, and therefore we don't thank God for anything. 1849, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear was written, and listen to this. This describes people a week before Christmas back in 1849. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil among the climbing way with painful steps and slow. That's the mall a week before Christmas, shopping. Look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Yeah. So this Christmas, let's stop like the shepherds. Secondly, let's listen. What the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. It's good news. By the way, when you watch the news, is it mostly good news or bad news? I mean, Mona and I were listening to it one time, and it was like one horrible bad story after another, which I think it's important to stay informed. It's important to know what's going on in the world. But we listen to all the bad news, and pretty soon it affects our minds. We have this kind of very negative, fearful kind of take, and we forget that God is working in the midst of even bad stuff. The angels came with good news, and the good news is this. We lose our fear when we realize that Jesus came as Savior. He came to rescue us and make a way for us to know God. We got a Christmas card a few years ago, and it said this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent a teacher. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. And so what are you afraid of this Christmas? I think a lot of people are afraid that if you connect more with God, He's going to take away your fun. Because Christians, people that are Christians or really committed to their faith are no fun. Because they won't do everything everybody else does. And yet people that do all the other stuff, they end up really down. Because anytime you do stuff outside of what God's will, it always lands you in a bad place. You know that, but we do it over and over again. So people think, if I follow God, it'll take my fun away, or it'll take my freedom away. I want to do what I want to do. And then God comes in and says, really, no, I've got a plan for you, and here's how I want it to go down. And so our prayer always should be Jesus' prayer in the garden. We should say, God, not my will, but your will be done. I want to do your will. And when you are in the middle of God's will, there is no greater place. There's no bigger fulfillment. Jesus said, I came that people might have life and abundant life. Tell a comfortable person that Jesus came to save them, and they get offended. I don't need salvation. But you tell someone who's really struggling, really going through a hard time, that Jesus came to save them from sin and give them peace, and it hits home. Whenever I get a chance to do the Bible study out at Harmony Ridge, people in a 30-day program, their world has come to an end. They've got family and friends waiting for them to get out, to get sober. And you just share the simple gospel, and they just drink it up. They just drink it up. Because when you're down, you're starting to look up. And you realize it's really only through a spiritual recovery that you're going to make it. And so when we're struggling, we No, we need help. We need a Savior. When we hit bottom, we finally began to look up. So the shepherds stopped. They were still. They listened to the angels, and they knew there was a Savior, so they didn't have to live in fear. And then they look. They honestly investigate who Jesus is. It says in Luke 2:15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And so this Christmas, I just challenge you. Maybe Christmas after Christmas, you just kind of go through it. You go through kind of the cultural, secular stuff. But this Christmas, pull back and ask yourself, who is this Jesus? And does he really live up to the hype? I mean, he said all these amazing things, but is that really who he is? Have you ever gone a little bit further with it? It's interesting. The shepherds experienced the light of the angelic host who announced the baby was to be born, and they leave their flocks and they go and see the child in a manger. The magi see a light from the east, and they follow it to find the Christ, the child, in a house. Notice that both the shepherds and the magi see a light, and then they're moved to look and see. And so the meaning of Christmas is found in us making an effort to be personally present. God has come all the way from heaven to us, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. God has been personally present in our life. John 1 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So God has come to be personally present with us, and we need to draw close to him and be as present as we can to God and to one another during this time. That's what Christmas is all about. Personal presence is powerful. That's why those of us that went caroling, we were as blessed as the people that we sang to, just simply because we're blessed in being personally present with others, helping them to think about the Christmas season and all the gifts that we give and the ways that we help and support. It's a way that we are personally present in the lives of others. I thought about the live nativity last week, right before all the children came down to help us remember Christmas. Jenny came up and says, "We have a real baby." I said, "We do. How do we do that?" It was Coulter. It was Coulter. Yeah. Did we have to like pay a residual or something for that? No, I wouldn't have to. But it's the difference between a real baby and a plastic doll. That personal, it's real. It's alive. And that's what happened. God came real, alive, here. And thankfully, Coulter apparently did really well, but right afterwards, he did a little projectile vomiting. Yeah. It could have been like the most memorable nativity scene ever. He just got off the stage, and then he wasn't feeling well. So thankfully, he held it. In January, we're going to look at our vision of life. It's loving God, including others, fellowship groups, and everyone involved in ministry. And I'm just going to mention, we need to continue to look at this idea of tables of life, inviting one another into our homes just to share a meal and to be personally present in the lives of others, and then hopefully having some life groups that would meet for maybe 6 weeks about around some theme around that. We'll look at that in January. Finally, here's what the shepherds do. Share what you know. They didn't just keep it to themselves. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. A lot of people get nervous when we talk about witnessing or being spiritually impactful in other people's lives. Here's the deal, folks. You don't have to memorize a lot of Bible verses. You don't have to have like perfect theology. But you know what you can do? You can simply share your story. What has God done in your life? It's powerful. I mean, how is your life different because God is in it? What road would you have traveled without God, and what road have you traveled with God in your life? And maybe it hasn't been an easy road, but God has held you up and given you peace in the midst of the storm. He's given you stability when everything was falling apart. And you can simply say that, you know, my life is different because God is in it. And yeah, I go to church because I set aside time because I want to worship God. That's all you need to say. And then people will ask you more And then you can go a little bit deeper with them. But the shepherds went, and they weren't smart, and they weren't connected. They were outcasts. They were unclean. But God came to them, and they just went around telling people, you know, we were lost, but now we're found. We've seen it, and we want to share it. So my daughter, Becca, brought to mind a video that I'd forgotten about. I've told you know the story that they stole our baby Jesus. It was 2018. It was five years ago, and it was on her Facebook timeline thing. The video came back up, and I got to thinking, I want to show it to you again, but, we put Jesus out there, and people took him, and here's the, we didn't have it in the first service. Did we grab it off of YouTube? Do we have it?
A Parkersburg church says its statue of the baby Jesus was stolen from their nativity scene. Megan Vanslow brings us a story about the congregation looking past it to remember the true meaning of Christmas.
Someone has taken the baby Jesus.
Not talking about a resurrection. Baby Jesus is taken from the nativity scene at Emmanuel Baptist Church.
The day after we set up the manger scene, and they noticed that the baby Jesus was missing.
It was only on display for one day, and the Savior was stolen. After 2 days, it was away with the manger. And after 3 days, a donkey on scene was taken too.
And Jesus doesn't actually tend to stay in one place. He tends to move. He tends to go. So he goes where he needs to go. So whoever took him is probably getting a chance to think about who they are and what they believe in.
Church members inside continue to worship, remembering their true meaning of Christmas.
This is kind of like the church going out to them, you know, and I can't help but think that whoever took our Jesus, if it's on, if it's on their table or next to their bed, it's probably the best Christmas gift we could give them, because it makes them think about what Christmas is about.
Busick says they have security footage, but don't plan to review it to catch the thief. He doesn't plan to file a police report or demand for the Jesus to be returned.
Jesus brings joy, and if he's here, great, but if someone took him, that's great too.
But church members from his congregation and others around the block have stepped up to help.
I have offered, because we don't put our baby in the manger yet, because he's not been born. So I am more than willing to lease our baby Jesus to Kurt Busick and Emmanuel Baptist Church.
Two church members have brought in spare Jesuses, so we have to make another manger, and we'll have another Jesus out. And actually, if they take that one, we'll keep putting them out.
If you took it, I hope it brings you joy and peace. And if it doesn't, please bring it back to them.
Take Mother Mary, though. I just don't know. I don't think it's going to go well for them in the next life. But. take Jesus, take Mother Mary. It's not going well for you. You know, they took Jesus. The rest of the story there is on Christmas Sunday back in 2018. I was coming to church. Leave that slide up because I want to use it. And I see this blob on the porch out here, just outside these old entry doors. And I park the car and I come back around. And it was the donkey and baby Jesus duct taped together. They brought him back. You know, I just think maybe they put it on a chair in their living room, and they're eating dinner, and like Jesus is looking at them, and they couldn't handle it. You know, they saw that. That's Jesus has a way of changing our heart and making us different. 2 weeks ago, I'm looking out my window at our manger scene. And this father had four small children, and they were walking on the sidewalk, and they diverted off, and for the next like 5 minutes, they're playing in our stable. I mean, they're mugging, kind of hanging out with the shepherds, and had their arm around Joseph, and they're talking to Mary, and they're holding the baby Jesus and everything, and talking to the wise men. And the Pharisee pastor on the other side of the window, I'm sitting there thinking, those kids, get off my lawn. You know, they shouldn't be hanging out with the Christmas character. What are they doing? They might break it. And then they went over to the joy, the next slide there, joy. They were diving through the O and doing somersaults. They would, They would dive through the O and then keep going. And I thought, man, how distorted is my mindset when I'm sitting there behind the glass thinking, what are these kids doing hanging out around the Christmas characters and joy? I didn't have a chance to get out there and invite them to church. I should have, but it just reminds me of how distorted my mindset is. There they were enjoying Christmas and kind of being personally present, and I'm kind of critiquing what they're doing. Well, last night, did any of you see the Steelers and the Bengals? Yeah, either you're real happy or real sad, depending on what happened. But Steelers were on a 3-game losing stint, and the Bengals were on a 3-game winning run, and Steelers had a really good game. Mason Rudolph, fourth string quarterback, got in, had the game of his life. I mean, he kept throwing touchdown passes. And afterwards, I had Mona come in. The post-game NBC announcer, she looks at Mason Rudolph and says, "They're playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for you." Kind of get him to talk about, like, other stuff. And he kind of paused. And then he said, first off, he said, "I want to thank my creator, Jesus Christ, for giving me the opportunity to play this game, for carrying me through the dark times, and for getting me back here for this special moment." And I thought of all of the good people, all the people in the CBS production tent. You can't use national television time to give a testimony to Jesus Christ. Like, mute him, stop him. But it was too quick. And then they go to the receiver that he threw to, and he has a cross on his face, and he kept saying, "All glory to God, all glory to God. I just want to thank the Lord." And it's just a reminder that God has a way of breaking through. All you just kind of sit back, and he'll break through with this powerful message where someone says, "I just had a great game, but I want to pull back and say, listen, all praise to my creator, Jesus Christ. I've been through some dark times, and he saw me through." And everybody who heard it realized that that's the meaning, that's the purpose of Christmas, that God came to us. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for those kids that were playing with our manger scene. And even though I was sitting there thinking, "What are they doing?" Thankful that there are kids in the neighborhood. We need to connect. We need to reach out. We need to. And if people take our Jesus, we'll keep putting them out. And I just ask that we will take time to stop, that we'll listen, and that we'll go look and see, like the shepherds. We're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, and we will sing together two verses of number 138, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." If you need prayer, want to join our church, or just want to rededicate your life, you can come forward as we sing, and we'll have a deacon up front here to pray with you if you'd like to pray with someone afterwards. Let's sing together.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.